Well, good morning on this June 26, 2024. What a day the Lord has made. What a glorious day it is to be alive in the kingdom of our great Lord and Savior, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus Christ. What a day. What a day to serve such a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yeah, hallelujah. And we're just excited. Jacob's in the house with us on this Wednesday. How are you doing, Jacob?
Doing good. How about you all?
Good. And Miss Hannah's back with us today. Miss Hannah, how are you doing?
Doing good this morning. I like that word you just made up, Yalleluia.
Yeah, I was like, I was going to say Yahshua.
And hallelujah together.
And then ship the word together. Is that what they call it when you when you merge them together?
Yeah.
I just brought them together right there. I'm good at that, but a lot of times the problem is it's very unintentional. It just happens that way. But it is good to be with you guys. It's a humbling thing to have your guys' ears for 2 hours every single weekday morning. Do not forget, though, that next week we are on ministry-wide shutdown, so we will not be live in the studio. But I always have such good response to the sermons that we play, and so many people give a lot of feedback to those. So, again, it's kind of like that area of when I'm gone, they tell me not to come back because Hannah's doing just a good enough job without me here. And then the sermon. So I take the hint, everybody. I'm getting the hint. I could really just be a producer. Now, I do need to be on here on Wednesdays to keep Jacob in check.
That's hard to do.
I just have to pre-read all the text messages. But no, it is really good opportunity for some sermons to be played. And also, Bob Martin, we're talking more about how to fill this 11 o'clock hour. We're going to miss Bob tremendously. He's such a great teacher. But I know the Lord's going to open up, and we really do. Last night in our elders leadership meeting, we had a really good idea mentioned. And so we'll be talking about that more. Maybe if this comes to play, I think it'd be really cool, and it'd be really, really good for that lunch hour drive. And so we're praying into that some more. Thursdays, Greg said I need to be on Thursdays too, so that I can keep his eschatology in check, I'm sure.
Well, I was going to say, like, it's kind of cool to be on the flip side of it. Like, when I'm not here and I'm tuning in, listening, like, yeah. It's cool to feel like to be a listener. I don't know. It just makes me feel different. Like,
was you able to listen at all yesterday?
Not the whole time, but it's part of it. And it's like, I was like, this is cool. Cause it reminded me of before I was on with you all and I would listen, and I don't know. There's just something about being a listener. I think it helps you. I think listening, and this is true when I listen to podcasts too, not having anything around you but just listening helps you focus really on what somebody's saying. Like not having a studio, not having little screens in the background or whatever. Like just listening to the broadcast, it was cool.
So the fact that I'm producing the whole time I'm talking, you're saying if I didn't have to produce too.
Well, I get distracted easily, so my eyes are like boing, boing, boing. Like I'm looking at everything around me, and I still pay attention. But there's just something different about it.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's cool.
Well, I enjoyed yesterday. I always love Tuesdays with Josh, and I love all days of the week except Monday. And that's nothing to do with Jason and Miss Gretchen. It's just Monday. But I do love Mondays too. And I love when Miss Gretchen and Mr. Miller's on with us on Mondays. It's always an enjoyable day and get to get in some really good discussion there. So, but just pray for us more into that 11 o'clock hour. I've had a few people interject and chime in on some suggestions. And so we're working on it. We have a radio meeting every Thursday with the staff, and we're going to talk more into that tomorrow morning. So just exciting times in the kingdom. I know that this is a sad period for a lot of us, seeing this season, Brother Bob Martin going during that 11 o'clock hour. But this is what I found: when one door shuts, another one opens. Yeah. And so we will continue forth, and it's a beautiful thing. And this is all of our radio station. This is just not mine or yours. It's all of ours. And so we love your input and suggestions and comments. Hallelujah. Brandon Goostry texted me and said August 19th through 21st, revival at the amphitheater. He's preaching the 19th. Not sure the other nights, but who's preaching. So That's, again, August 19th through the 21st, a revival at the Amphitheater. Kingswood Wesley Church, not Kentucky Wesley. It's a college. Kingswood Wesley Church is in the middle of their VBS right now. I know Kingdom First there in Caneyville with Pastor Chris and Miss Tasha. They're starting theirs up July the 8th or the 9th. I think it's 8th. And then ours is the 23rd. We've got Decoration Day after church Sunday. I'm not for sure. It's probably – I'll be there, but I don't know. I'm not very good at this kind of stuff. My cutting a wave out looks like a wounded dolphin trying to get out of the cage. And so
those waves take a lot longer than you would think.
Yeah. So, but it's good. We're excited for that. We're excited for our VBS. And I know my kids, I know some of them, I think most of them are going to be going to the Kingdom First one in Caneyville. And they're doing twists and turns. And so that's such a fun one to do. And that was a lot of fun last year. Our theme for this year is Breaker Rock Beach, which is basically, upon all the shakiness of this world, the Word of God is something that stands true. The Word of God will never fail us. The Word of God never wavers. The Word of God never shifts. It's the foundation that we stand upon. And so it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I'm so excited. I get the joy of my job. This is my job, is to amp the kids up. So it's the one time you get permission just to get them all rowdy. And so we got some skits getting planned and some things going on at the first. So I'll intro it and then take us out each night, and I get to do the teaching part. So I'm really excited, but I do need a partner in the teaching. So I don't know if he's assigned me a partner. I need somebody to help me. Last year I had so much.
With your amping up in the beginning.
Well, that. But I think last year the teaching part I had as much fun as the amping up part, even though we got to jump off we jumped off a stage a couple times.
We got dressed up as
Mario and Luigi. We had a dance party one day. We dropped confetti and streamers from the balcony one time. We had a lot of fun with green beans in it. Disgusting. So this year, I'll give this one out there for Mr. Tim. He'll love this. I'm still trying to figure out how to come off the balcony on a zip line. He said, "You ain't doing that." I said, "If you anchored into the concrete right there in front of the altar, I really think you could zip line down from the balcony. That would be really neat. What kid wouldn't love that?"
Zip line in and it doesn't stop and you run right into the brick wall. That would be bad.
they'd probably laugh at the person getting hurt more than
maybe I should get health insurance
like before, Tarzan or something.
I currently don't have health insurance, so maybe I need that before I do zip line off the balcony.
Maybe let another guy do it.
Jacob.
I don't think there's a cable strong enough to hold me in there.
No, but I do want to talk about this VBS. I really liked their theme, Hanging Rock Church. They had their VBS was Whodunit Mystery, and it was a detective VBS, and it was all about they had to find out each clue about what mystery Bible story it was about. So they would get clues about a Bible story, and they would have to come up with what Bible story it was. And they would even act out part of the Bible study. And the people that I talked to that were there said that there was one that was really good with the woman caught in the act of adultery.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure they, you know, tamed it down a little bit for the kids. But they said that it was just, it was so cool the way that they presented it to the kids and the way that they explained the gospel through it. And I just thought I had never heard of a VBS that
cool.
theme before.
I mean, it's just, I like how people get creative, you know. That's how I love about when you do VBS, people can get creative with their minds. And I'm not like the greatest creative person there is, but I mean, Riley was telling me the other night, she goes, "Man, I mean, that VBS we had last year, what we threw together like last minute was pretty awesome." And I said, we got to one up that this year. I said, I'm kind of nervous because, you know, I'm like,
it was awesome for everybody except me, Hannah, Heather, Sarah.
I mean, but there was so much going on. My eyes didn't know what to do. Like, I was like, oh, what is going on here?
Will say Heather and Brianna's got an incredible layout for the stage, the sanctuary, and the fellowship hall.
Yeah.
It's going to look fantastic. I think this year is going to be a little bit different. Last year is just a lot. Yeah. Like, it was stuff
my
everywhere.
Eyes going nuts.
This year's more pointed, but I think it's going to look
more
amazing.
More impactful.
Yeah.
Not so, just put your eyes on it. It's still
going to be like, wow. Like, yeah. I mean, Heather and Brianna's done a fantastic job getting this race. So we're excited for that. But anyways, that's enough of that one. We'll talk more about that whenever it gets closer to time. Jeremy Sohn said he will do it with a helmet on. I will do it in a sumo suit. I want one of those. Give me one of those.
Man.
Hey, get me one of those.
Those inflatable ones?
Yeah, like the little balls that people stand in, those little crystal, the clear ones that they stand in, the inflatables.
Oh, yeah.
We need that.
Maybe we should get those inflatable sumo suits in.
I need that in my life. That little rotating ball that we can just get in and, like, hit
roll
each other.
No, that would be, like... That'd be rough, though. You mean, wouldn't you just, like, flop around inside there?
Yeah, but you're, like, stuck in this little inflatable ball, so you're protected.
Yeah, but if I fall inside there, it's still going to hurt. Like,
no, like, I've seen people get hit with a car with this.
And it doesn't hurt them.
No, it just bumps them and rolls them.
Is it kind of like a thing in Gatlinburg? They have something where you get in a ball and roll down a hill.
Yeah, kind
inside
of.
You get inside. But wouldn't it be suffocating, though? I mean, I just don't know how you get
have 3 or 4 minutes without oxygen, you're fine.
They're like, somebody get Jacob out. They're going to have to cut the ball to get him out.
Guys, is he supposed to be turning purple right now? I don't think that's his natural color.
I'm thinking of it. I'm going to ask them if we could do a sumo suit.
Are you going to be his assistant?
I don't know if I can. I got to cook and get all this food ready for these kids.
Well, we know last year we hired Jacob and Josh to help with a – they were supposed to be the ones that kind of are boring. And Josh says, all right, kids, we're going to do something really boring today and just talk about Jesus. Remember that?
God.
It was so funny. It was great. He goes, wait a second. I can't say that.
It was awesome. He didn't realize. We were trying to be the boring guys. That's what we were supposed to be. And then.
Then the dance party supposed to hit.
It backfired on us, so we just didn't. I was on stage trying not to laugh.
He told that story on here one time. Him and Miss Katie was on a Wednesday morning, and he told us that. So it was good.
Hopefully they just forgot about that after all the fun.
I tease him about it. Oh, you mean the kids?
Yeah.
I don't think they even realized it. All right, well, we're in the book of James here. I didn't have my tabber, so I had to figure all this out by myself yesterday. But we are in verse 11. Brandon Gooster said he'd be down in a sumo fight with Jacob.
That'd be a sight. Now, did Brandon Gooster said he was preaching?
Yeah, on August the 19th.
Cool.
Let's see here. So verse 10 was, for whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of it all. Verse 11, for he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has... I'm sorry, let me read that again. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. That is probably one of my favorite scriptures. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd say top 20 in the Bible. I always loved that scripture. But basically, James is telling us here, if you want to be judged by the law, you're going to have to be judged by the whole law. He's encouraging us to be judged by the law of liberty. And he's encouraging us to operate under mercy.
Yeah.
And so this is why it's so important. I mean, again, I am not going to get back into what we've talked about multiple times last week. But this is why, even in cases that judgment looks to be necessary on our part, mercy triumphs over judgment. And if we don't show mercy, we won't be shown mercy.
Yeah.
And Galatians 6 gets into that as well. And so I love what James says here. I always have. This part in Galatians 6 has always been markers for us, because we talk about, like, if you know, I'm not going back to the law. Galatians is basically encouraging that. I'm not going back to Hagar. I'm not going back to that. I'm under the law of liberty. I'm under the law. Now, does that give me permission to sin? Absolutely not. Like that, there's nothing that James is saying that gives you that permission. It's nothing in Galatians telling you to give that permission. But what it does, it's saying stop being religious in the sense of devotion and thinking that's what's going to save you, that your own works. Ephesians 2 breaks that down. We're never going to be good enough to be saved by our works.
Mm-hmm.
It's Christ's mercy. And because we've been shown great mercy, we should be able to show great mercy. And that is something that James here is hitting, because James goes back up and, you know, he's talking about true religion, undefiled, visiting the orphans and the widows, being abstained from the world. Then he goes into showing no partiality. And he's talking about if you have a shabby clothed guy and a nice looking guy, if you show partiality to the nicer looking guy, you're in sin and you're evil judgment. And he's going on and he keeps going talking about the rich and the poor. And he's talking about our partiality and how we're dealing with them. And then he gets into how we're going to judge and how we're going to be judged. So if we have to ask, so I mean, like, it's as simple as this. Jacob, do you want to be judged by the law or do you want to be judged by the law of liberty?
Law of liberty, definitely.
And that's what James is telling us. Like, and I think that, again, I think the gospel is far more incredible than we could ever imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're scared to talk about this radical grace that was produced in the gospel because we think it's a license to sin. And I will say this. Damon Thompson said something the other day. I listened to about 6 hours of his teaching the other day on something. And it was probably one of the most prolific teachings on the Holy Spirit I've ever heard in my life. I will grant that. Like, it was astounding.
Yeah.
And he said this. He said, if you think grace is the opportunity to sin and get away with it, you've encountered grace and not Jesus. And I thought that was an incredible. He said, you've encountered the idea, the definition of grace, but you have not encountered Jesus. But he also was preaching radical grace. And this is what James is doing here too. He's like, James is telling us, which one are you going to be judged by? Never giving us permission to sin. He's actually rebuking us of our sin for showing partiality.
Yeah.
But then he goes into this great, great section for the last 3 or 4 verses about showing mercy. And verse 13, for judgment is without mercy to one whom has shown no mercy. Mercy triumph of judgment. And that goes back to the parable that Jesus told. So the guy who owes a lot of money gets forgiven. And then he goes and what? He can't forgive the one who owes a little bit. And it doesn't end well for that guy. And so, and there's been times we've had to make decisions and somebody's going to have to start talking, or I'm just going to keep talking. It's my job.
I was looking into that verse and seeing if it, you talked about like being judged by part of the law and then the whole mm-hmm. law. I was looking into if it, you were explaining that, but that's not what the verse says. I was trying to see if the ESV said it different than the King James.
In which part?
In verse
10?
Yes.
Yeah. How's the King James read it?
Oh, it does say whole in verse 10. I was looking at a later verse.
Mm-hmm.
King James does read it in that one. I was looking at a later verse at verse 12 and 13.
Yeah. So, but basically James is just showing us, like, you may think you've arrived because you haven't committed adultery.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've murdered, or if you've murdered and not committed adultery, you've broken both.
Yeah.
So that's the, along the lines I was thinking of when you were talking about that, because I do think that, like, our nature, sinful nature, is to pick and choose.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
To pick this little parts of the law that we like, and we want to judge other people by those.
Mm-hmm.
And ourselves, because if we're good at it or we're not doing those things, then we're good. We're fine. And that's kind of, I mean, we saw that with the Pharisees. They're like, well, we're doing this right,
mm-hmm.
and you all aren't, so you're less than and we are elite. But then Jesus is like...
But then what did Jesus really rebuke him for? He said, and he even with that, he went farther with that statement, Hannah, because he said, you're doing all these things of the law, but you've neglected the greater parts of the law.
Yeah.
Mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so he let them have it. But if you go to Galatians 5:19-21, I was texting somebody this morning about this verse. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy. I'm reading from the King James. Murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in the times past, that they do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But basically, he's telling us, like, okay, you may have never been idolatrous. You may have never been witchcraft. But have you ever had hatred? Have you ever got drunk? Have you ever been jealous? Have you ever been envious of something? Oh. Like, one mistake disqualifies us.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the gospel comes in at.
Oh.
And so, I mean,
it reminds me of the, you know, some like street evangelist that will
Ray Comfort?
Probably, but we'll ask people or we'll list these sins and say to people and say, like, have you committed any of these? And kind of get them thinking about what is sin.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people don't realize, like, especially if they're pointing out those, like, inward sins that they never don't think about on a day-to-day.
Yeah.
They don't think about that they're sinners, because if they're not doing the thing that they, to their standard, is wrong, then they're good.
Absolutely. And this is literally the rich young ruler parable here. Because he comes and tells Jesus, good teacher, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus rebukes him and says, there's none good but the Father. Jesus was rebuking him because he was only seeing him good through natural eyes. And then Jesus went to show him that he wasn't as good as he thought he was. Because Jesus said, you know, he says, I've kept the law here and I've kept the law here. And then Jesus says, okay, great. How about you go sell everything and come follow me? And the rich young ruler walked away kind of with the head down.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because even if he did all of those other things, it still was not enough to overcome the one thing, because that one thing's enough to disqualify him and to make him sinful. And that's what James is trying to get us to understand here. Like, if you're going to be judged by the law, you're going to have to be judged by the whole law. And if you fail in any part of the law, you're condemned by the whole law. And there will be repercussions and consequences of your failure to the law. But James is telling us to be judged with the law of liberty, which is basically saying the gospel with grace. And so I just think it's a phenomenal portion of text here. And and I know we talk about James being very practical, but I also think it's very rich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
well, there's probably verses like these that we just read over, but we don't stay on it long enough.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
The thing about mercy, though, is you'll see it's kind of like, even though people may deserve something and you show them mercy, it's almost like you see something even greater happen when mercy comes. I mean, you look at what God could have destroyed us again. You know, he didn't have to send Jesus, but he did. In his act of mercy, he did that to give us a place to be with him. And that mercy that he showed to us is the same mercy that we are to give to people. And I think that I was reading a quote from somebody, I don't even know who it was, but it said something about mercy. If without mercy, we have no grace. Because it's like the mercy that we've been given is the grace that empowers us to be able to go forward and do what God wants us to do. And it's just, I think that we neglect mercy sometimes because we try to put ourselves in the seat of God as the judge, and we can't do that. I mean, we have to show mercy to people, and we have to, I just think we see more powerful things when we do that. I mean, like, yeah, you could stone it, just like the woman caught, like you was talking, you know, in the act of adultery. I think you were talking about that. We could throw the stone at her because that's what they did, but Jesus didn't. So do we throw the stone and be strict about what these people got caught in and what they did, or do we show mercy like Jesus did? And it's more powerful. I think you'll see more of somebody coming through this, you know, like somebody say they did something really bad, and yeah, they should. Our first instinct is they should pay the price, right? I mean, that's if they did something really horrible that you really just, oh, I can't stand it. But God's mercy comes in, or you show mercy to them, and they begin to change, and they begin to transform, and they turn into this awesome person that goes and does things and speaks truth to people and wins their souls. That, you know, it's just like a reciprocal thing that you've shown mercy to them. They begin to do it to others. It changes them.
You know, I think there's two things that come to mind when you're talking. The first one is, I think a lot of times we don't show mercy because we think it's showing condoning.
Yeah,
and I don't want to confuse the two.
No.
And I do think you said something right there that just sparked something in me. Say that last part you said again. I should have said that first because it was really like you sparked something in my head right there. And it was just like, I think there's truth in that.
What are you talking about? Like
something about the person changing.
If you looked at, if they change, we could show them.
Oh, yeah, I know what the price. You said they deserve a price.
Yeah.
I think if we say they deserve to pay the price, that shows our ignorance of the gospel that he's already paid the price.
Exactly.
I think that's it. Like, we think we're trying to redo something that Christ has already. This is why he's our propitiation. He has satisfied the wrath because the debt has been paid.
Exactly.
So, in reality, the price of my judgment has already been paid. Now he's able to show me mercy. And that's why he says he is the justifier.
Mm.
He's both. There's a phenomenal scripture in Lamentations chapter 3 that says in verse 22, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. You could just stop there. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Again, you can go to Romans 8. Neither life nor death nor principality can separate me from the what? Love of God. Wow. And he says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. That's a phenomenal portion of text.
Mm.
And it says, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. To me, that's, wow. That should get us to run around the church. We can go run around the sanctuary a couple times just thinking about that verse right there. Because I don't know about you, but every morning I need his mercy. Every day I need his mercy. Mm. I need his grace. I need his. And it's this assurance that his steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And his mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Even in our unfaithfulness.
Hmm.
Even in our unfaithfulness. That's the good news of the gospel. Not condoning. It's not overlooking. There will be conviction. That's what the Holy Spirit does. But he does not bring condemnation. He brings conviction. And there's a dramatic difference. But to me, that verse is absolutely astounding.
I know I've talked about this on here before, but, it hurts my heart. But I know the Holy Spirit is greater. But when people, they don't get to know Jesus because they already have a mindset, a preconceived mindset that religion teaches of you have to do this, this, and this before, or you have to be this clean before you come in to the fold or whatever. And I just see that so much. Like, I can just think of people in my mind when reading that scripture, like, that don't believe that because they haven't encountered that. Like, they don't see that that's possible because they haven't yet encountered Jesus. But when they do, they'll understand that it's possible. It's for everyone.
Remember that old song? I know we got to go break, but there was an old song. I still love it today, and it's still powerful. And it was at the Brownsville Revival. They played it, and it was, I'm running to the mercy seat where Jesus.
Yeah. Was it Vicky something?
I think so. Yeah. It was so powerful.
It's a powerful song.
And people just, you know, I was reading up on the mercy seat and how in the ark it was the gold lid. It was the gold lid placed on the Ark of the Covenant with two cherubims at the end to create the space in which Yahweh appeared and dwelled. So, wow. I mean, we know he fulfilled that, but it's still powerful that this mercy, you know, he went and applied blood to the mercy seat for us to be able to have a place with him. And he didn't have to, but he did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just like we don't have to, but we do because this is what Jesus did and we're to be like him.
Yeah. And this verse and limitations and stuff, and I know we're going to break and I read this first trivia question. It's speaking to me because I have a personal situation in my life right now. I'm a very transparent person, and some people hate it and some people love it. I'm not changing. I'm just an open person. That I'm finding it difficult to forgive somebody. I'm just being honest. Like, am I like staying up at night? No, but I'm finding it difficult. But these verses speak so much to me on this. Because if his mercies are new every morning, I want to, and if we're going to be like Christ, being like Christ is not just going out and preaching the gospel in the street corner. It's not just going out and loving the unlovable. It's also loving our enemies and loving those who are persecuting them, loving us, loving those who are spreading I mean, all these things, like, this is hard for us to do at times, but if his mercies are new every single morning, we should have our mercies new every single morning. Mm-hmm. And that's hard. And so it's a beautiful thing. And it's grace, and he's given us grace to do this, and he's given us grace to live. And this is why he says he will, he wouldn't command us to love our enemies if we couldn't do it in him. And so but
what you said was, that was the key. We can't do it
without him.
Without him.
Yeah. I keep telling on myself. I told on myself for my nickel story yesterday. And did you hear my nickel story?
No, I did not.
Did you hear my nickel story? Well, we were talking about being stewards and something. I don't remember the whole conversation, how it came about. But Monday evening, I put a $1.55 in the Coke machine down there to get my, because I wanted a Dr. Pepper when I came in at 8:45. And I was like, I'm thirsty, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, I'm going to get a Dr. Pepper and just lay down. And I was so tired, my body so hurt, that I wasn't going to bend over for the nickel. I was just going to leave the nickel and bless somebody else. And I start to walk to my stairs, and the Holy Spirit rebuked me. And he said, if I can't trust you with a nickel, how can I trust you with more? And so I was like, ouch. Because how many times have we just thrown a penny around like it's no big deal?
Yeah.
Because what we see with no value may be immense value to the Lord. And before he can trust you with the Cadillac, he's got to trust you with the Cavalier. And I got hit hard.
Mm.
And Josh said, I'm convicted, and I wasn't even there. And so, I got hit hard. So I got hit hard this morning. I got hit hard that night too. So Wednesday question number one, sponsored by the Sicilian Bank. Who has the title of Prince of the Power of the Air? Who has the title, the Prince of the Power of the Air? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right, we are back here on this beautiful day. Miss Elizabeth got that answer correct, and that is definitely, definitely Satan. Amen. Brother Ramsey said Matthew 5:44 is a good one. 43 says, and you have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father. Now, I think we don't usually read that next verse, but it says, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do you not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be whole or perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect or whole.
Ouch, that one hits.
Yeah.
The greeting your brothers one. It's a lot more fun to greet your brothers than and sisters. But yeah, that's good.
It's really good. That's a really good portion of text too. All right, Hannah, you ready to take us off in the Kingdom Corner?
I hope so. Okay. I'm in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So I feel like this portion of scripture just builds upon everything we've been talking about. And it's just such good news in the kingdom. Like, that we have been justified by faith. We have peace with God through Christ. That's something that most of the world, that's why they're so depressed. The lack of peace that only comes through a reconciliation with the Lord, that's what is opening up the door to all of this chaos and confusion and depression and weariness and heaviness, all of these things. Because we were never meant to do this life without our Creator, to not have communion, because that is how we were created as mankind, was to have fellowship and communion with the Lord. And it's just really good news that, just like we talked about earlier, that his mercy never ends, that his love is so strong for us that while we were yet weak, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And then it goes to talk about people will scarcely, they'll rarely die for a righteous person, and even more rare, a good person. And so it's just not, just like we talked about earlier, we were once enemies of the Lord. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we think about that, like, we talk about loving our enemies, before Christ, we were an enemy of God.
Yeah.
And that is crazy to think about, because a lot of times we don't think of ourselves that way. We think, well, before Jesus, you know, we were, especially, you know, when we're a child, yeah. Which children, you know, there is the innocence, and we do believe that, you know, before there's an ability to understand that, you know, they're not held accountable. But just still thinking about that, even back to a conversation we've had a while back with Aaron, children being born into sin. Sorry.
Stop it.
It still makes me
do
chuckle.
Do not give Jacob any ammunition right now. We don't need him to talk.
It still makes me chuckle, but sorry, I don't want to go there. But I do want to go to that thought of we're all born into being enemies of the Lord because of that, because of the fall. But thinking about that he so loved us while we were his enemy, that he died for us. And I mean, you can go back to the Barabbas story. You can go to so many things, but this is what we have available to us. We have communion available to us. We have been justified by his blood. And if we were saved, we are saved from the wrath of God. So if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life? So it's like, how much more should we be walking in victory, walking in the kingdom now that he's raised to life? Mm-hmm. If we were reconciled to God by his death.
Yeah.
Even though that action, that event of his death was, you know, tearing the veil, it was so powerful. But even more powerful now is he, because he's coming back with eyes blazing with fire and in righteous judgment. I mean, he's more powerful now. I mean, he's always been powerful, but during that time that he made that sacrifice for us, he did surrender things.
True.
And now it's saying, like, how much more? I mean, now we have the Holy Spirit. It talked about the Holy Spirit that that put been given to us and poured into our hearts love. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So not only do we have Jesus resurrected, he's alive, he's at the right hand of the Father, he's interceding for us, but we have the Holy Spirit pouring God's love into us. And it's like, how much more should we be walking in victory and rejoicing? It talks about rejoicing at the end of this. More than that, we rejoice in God. And it's like, I think we just forget. We forget these things so much. We know them, but we forget our identity. We forget our history.
True.
You know, that happens even in the natural. We, you know, especially as Americans, I feel like we can really relate to the life as a Christian in the sense of, like, being so blessed.
Yeah.
Because as a born-again believer, we have so much inheritance available to us.
We do.
Just like we do. And it wasn't because of anything we did. It was because of what years ago Christ did. And then even that, the early church fathers continued to set the pace. And it's the same thing with our nation. You know, we get to reap from that vineyard that we didn't plant. But we have to, I think it's the same with our nation and, you know, my generation especially, and the younger you get, it's like we forget history. History just keeps getting forgotten and twisted.
They twist the history.
Because when you don't have the knowledge of something, then ones can come in and manipulate. The wolves can come in and manipulate and teach a false history.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing with the word, is when we don't know. And maybe we know it, but we haven't remembered it. It's not in our heart.
Yeah.
We're not holding on to it. We're not writing it on our foreheads, writing it on the post of our doors. And, you know, it's very easy to fall into, even if it's little by little, even if it's not a crazy false teaching, but little by bit, fall into a wrong idea of who we are as children of the kingdom. And I'm thankful for the word. I'm thankful for how powerful every single, you know, I go and I look to, of like, what scripture can I talk about on Kingdom Corner? And then, you know, I used to feel a lot of pressure about it, but I know that it's a thing that I have to steward. So it's definitely not a light thing, but at the same time, I don't feel that pressure because I know that I can't pick a wrong scripture, if that makes sense. Like, there's no scripture I can pick. Like, they're all powerful.
Yeah, they are.
Every single scripture is just, like, it's inspired, it's divine, and it's life. It's bread. Mm-hmm. We have to know all of it. We have to study all of it and feast of all of it, because it's all pointing back to Christ. It's all showing us his character, and especially this, I mean, all of Romans is just amazing.
Isn't it awesome though? You can go and read a scripture that you've read 1,000 times, and then you're like, "How did I miss that?"
Yeah, but you know, I think what it is, at least for me, maybe not everybody, but it's like we pay attention in like passages to certain scripture, but then sometimes we get so caught up on that one scripture that we just forget about the rest.
That's
of
whatever
the,
you're focusing on.
Yeah,
in that moment. Yeah,
the rest of the scriptures in that passage. So for me, like, I'll go back to a passage that has a very, like, well-known scripture in it, or a scripture that just meant a lot to me, and then there's all these other scriptures around it. I'm like, what in the world? Like, I didn't pay attention to all these other ones.
Mm.
And, yeah, it's good news.
You know, as you was reading that Romans, which I used to, I had a guy teach me Romans Road years and years ago. But I love how you're able to show people this and how it takes, you take them down the path of how you can talk about where they were, but where God's wanting to take them. And just like you was talking about that guy, Ray Comfort, who goes in ministry work. And he doesn't, I mean, a lot of people are like, well, why is he doing that? And I said, well, it actually gets their thought process to think. Like, they begin to think. So he's not, like, condemning them. It's almost like he's showing them, they're by their confession, they're saying, well, yeah, I've done that. So mm-hmm. it gets them to think. It turns some things in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And they begin to see that they need it. Because most people out there, a lot of people know they're doing bad, but they don't see a need to get right. Like,
God,
people just accept me for who I am. Or, you know, and that's where I feel like they don't, it's almost like they have no need of a savior. It's almost like they don't need nobody. Like, I am who I am. You can't change me. Nobody's going to change me. And ain't nobody, there's a shirt that says, only God can judge me, you know, that people throw out there. And us, you know, and that bothers me because it's almost kind of like there's no reverence of God anywhere. It's because in the world, and I was like, where's the church at? And I feel like we're in our boxes. I hate saying it, but we're in our box buildings, and we're not sharing the gospel to people like we should.
Yeah.
And, you know, I listened to, I'm not going to say their names, but the two boys I talked, or two young men, I don't want to say boys, two young men that I talked to the other day who went out and evangelized, and just to talk to them and how fired up they were to share the gospel with people. It was awesome because to see young people who want to share the gospel is a rare thing because most kids are not, or most young men are not thinking about that today. They're more worried about some women or trying to get the girl, or, you know what I'm saying? Their thoughts are not on sharing the gospel. And to see that fire put on their people is awesome. I love watching that. And I've learned a lot in my life about sharing the gospel with Heather Hodges, how she can approach situations with people. And some of the people, I'm like, oh, you know, like, I mean, I hate saying it, but in my own self, I was like, I don't know if I could do that, you know, that they might be hard, you know, and I have to remember that it's not me. And I think a lot of times we think and we get nervous about it because we might get tongue-tied or we might forget something or we might, I said, these people just want to be loved. And that's one thing that they want to know the love of God, that they can rise above what the place they're in. Because most people ain't happy. Most drug addicts are not happy where they're at. They don't want to be that way. Most of them. You know, they're just trapped. They're in a bondage and in sin, and they don't know how to get out. That's the only way of life they've ever known.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, unless the church shows them a better way. You know, I mean, most people, a lot of times that I talk to them, they have a distaste for the church.
Yeah,
because they got wronged by the church. Most of your people, I've, like witches or atheists or anybody you've ever seen, are mostly people who came from a church that got hurt somewhere down the line.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not excusing them for doing where they're at. I'm just saying most of them kind of are pretty well versed in scripture and they know their word. And then when you show them the love of Jesus, and that you're not, like, deterred by what they're doing, you know, and you're not like, I don't want to talk to them about Jesus because they're witches or they're atheists. I don't want to deal with that. You know, most people are thinking this. A lot of people who do this are thinking that. But when you have people who are on fire for God and want to share the gospel and real evangelists, they'll go into places that nobody else wants to go to.
Because, for one, I believe they know – well, they know who their God is if they're willing to go.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of Christians who, and I've been one of these, that we live in fear. And we honestly don't believe greater is he that's living in me than he that's in the world.
That's powerful.
We operate and we live as though we're below that, as we don't have the one that's greater. And a lot of times it's because we're not as close to him as we've backslidden or maybe we haven't really backslidden, but we're not seeking him like we used to. Our fire has dwindled down a lot. And I do think that fear is a big thing when it comes to the the people who maybe seem more tough, like you're talking about. But what I love is when, I mean, any Christian, when any Christian gets a revelation of who their God is, who they are in Christ, and greater is he that is inside of the Christian than anything in this world. I believe that's what, that and then the love for people, like we talked about earlier, is what motivates them to really go to those places that nobody else wants to go.
Well, this has really hit me, and I'm not trying to, you know, if you had something to say, Aaron, but Matthew 16:24, I heard this, and it, I'm like, man, I've heard this scripture 100 times, but are we doing this? And it says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, here's the kicker one, let him deny himself. We look over, if anyone desires to come after me, I'll deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Denying himself, how hard has that been for people to do that? Denying yourself, take up your cross. Oh God, I don't want to go over there. Deny yourself, you know? I don't want to do this, Lord. Deny yourself. Jesus is in the garden, not my will, but yours be done. He's shown us how to deny ourselves, even in that, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like we forget that. I don't want to worship. I don't want to worship like them. Deny yourself. I don't want to be that person who... I don't want to be that crazy guy on stage preaching like Aaron gets fiery up sometimes. Deny yourself. I don't want to be like Jacob walking around the church, and because I feel sometimes I look stupid, but God told me to do it. He told me to do something the other day, and I was like, God, why you tell me to do this? You know? And I said, people are going to look at me and think, you're an idiot. And God said, but you're a dead man. And I've heard Heather Rogers say, what can you do to a dead person? So when God asks you to do something and it doesn't look the status quo like everybody else, sometimes I think he's trying to teach us how to deny ourselves.
Yeah.
And
I think he's trying to teach us lordship of the Holy Spirit. But, I mean, this was my sermon Sunday, talking about the Holy Spirit and what he's doing in us. And
yeah.
Sometimes to be sensitive and leading the Holy Spirit makes us do strange, weird things sometimes, seemingly. But now that doesn't give you permission just to be weird for the sake of weirdness. And I do think, you know, I do think there needs to be accountability on this whole God tells me to do this, or God told me to do this, or God said do this.
Yeah.
If you're the only one hearing God say that to you, then it may be.
Yeah.
But what I found a lot of times is there's a lot of accountability to what God is saying with other people coming to a confirmation. And I know there's radical moments like, everybody laughed at Noah. Like, I mean, I understand those big moments, but I do think there's a lot of following the Holy Spirit. There are some things we have to do sometimes that maybe not necessarily normal, to say the least, and always pleasing to our flesh and comfortable and all that good stuff. But I know it's, you know, I know a situation right now. I was with somebody not too long ago. And, you know, they're talking about what God's calling them to do. And, well, God wasn't calling the rest of the family. And if God's not calling your wife and kids, God's probably not calling you.
Yeah.
Because I never see a point where God splits up a family just because God's called you somewhere else. That's what I'm talking about. So, like, in this leading of the Holy Spirit, I think that's the – there's sometimes strange things we got to do, weird things, crazy things.
Yeah.
You know, but it is a denying yourself and being obedient. But it's also, I don't know. I think it's really interesting. And it was we talked on that Sunday morning, just what the Holy Spirit's doing in me and what Jesus was talking about in John 14, and we'll continue John 14. And I don't know how much into John I will get back into. I know we're going to go back to John 14 and start off in 14:15, where he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I'm going to labor to talk about how that is not the Ten Commandments he's talking about there. Because I think that's what we think Jesus is saying, if you love me, keep the law.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what Jesus is saying right there. You have to go to John 12, and I'm going to labor to talk about that Sunday morning and talk about the commandments that we're supposed to keep and what he's really taught. Not saying the Ten Commandments are irrelevant. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that Jesus is not telling us to go back to the law, because then that would be against Galatians, and that would be against what James just said too. So we have to be able to be biblicist in the whole scheme of things, believe in the whole Bible, contextually seeing what the whole scripture says about an issue. But amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Or what was I said earlier on accident?
Yalleluya.
Yalleluya. That needs to be on a t-shirt.
Yalleluya.
That's a t-shirt. That's t-shirt worthy for the Box 2 Radio Network. We need some merch. Is that what it's called? Merch?
Hey, I've been saying this. I'm ready. We need some merch.
Box 2 merch.
As long as one shirt says Yalleluya. How do you
say that? And we could have cool, like, it doesn't just have to say Box 2. We could have sayings and things on it. Scriptures.
Yalleluya.
Can we have, like, a shirt that says Aaron's Blunders?
That would be a big shirt. We should have a shirt.
Not say all of his blunders.
No.
I mean, I guess on the back we could put a list.
That could be possible. Or we could do Jacob's text message. I feel sorry for anybody under me in the rapture.
I really, you know, we're joking about this, but I really think listeners would buy these.
The shirt. Yes. The shirt that says, be careful where you're walking at the rapture.
Get Jacob's shirt that says, don't get below me.
The thing of it is, it's not the people of God. It's the ones that, because if you're going up in the rapture, it's going to be the ones that don't know who we are, because they don't probably listen to
us. Do y'all know that Kaylee keeps a list on her phone of all these funny things, and so she can save it for our game? She literally has a list on her phone.
Well, then that could be our t-shirt list. Oh,
goodness.
Exactly.
All right, here we go. Wednesday question number two, sponsored by Higdon Land Surveying. What part of the body is full of deadly poison? What part of the body is full of deadly poison? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.
All right, we are back here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. And did we have a trivia answer? Trivia question answer? We did. Yeah. I don't know what he's mouthing in there.
Greg Carwell answer correct, and it's the tongue.
He was determined to get that answer.
He was.
That answer in there.
Yep. So, well, good conversation today. I really liked that. You were talking about denying ourselves. It reminded me of a sermon I was listening to of Brother Ron's actually yesterday. And I want to get a copy of that sermon because it was really good. But it was called Married to Jesus, I think, is what it was titled on the recording. And he was talking about, you know, how our relationship with Jesus, it's a relationship. It's not just one-sided. You know, he talked about how we don't have to like everything that God tells us to do. He's like, do you like everything that your spouse does? You know, like, you have to be honest with each other on what you like and what you don't like.
True.
Now, that doesn't mean everything you don't like you shouldn't do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think he kind of cleared that up. But he was talking about, you know, everything that the Lord tells me to do, I don't like. I don't always like it. That doesn't, you know, give me a reason not to do it. But he was talking about, you know, how he had just fasted not too long ago, and then the Lord was like, do a seven-day fast, put it on his heart to do a seven-day fast. And he's like, but I don't want to do that. Like, I just fasted not that long ago. And, you know, that's just one example, but there are so many things that, I mean, it's whatever the Lord is not going to put something on your heart to do. He's not going to lead you to do something that's not going to be for your best interest. That's not going to be for the best interest of somebody else. I mean, I watched a video, a testimony yesterday of someone who I like to listen to, who is into, like, I guess you would call it upbeat. I don't really know if it would be R&B, but Christian music. Like, they're making more modern, like, songs with a beat to them.
Yeah.
That would be more R&B, I guess. But it's just, you know, this kid, well, he's not really a kid, he's a young guy, he has a family, he has one child, but he said that it took him 7 years to make $1. in his music. And he was talking about just self-discipline and how people want to see instant results and things. But it took him 7 years of cultivating what God gave him to make $1. And it wasn't about the dollar anyways. Yeah. I mean, he was just happy to be doing it. But anyways, his testimony, you know, you see a lot of people that give their testimonies that are, you know, well-known artists, things like this. Yeah. And sometimes they're just shallow, you know. Yeah. Sometimes there's no substance behind it. But he was talking about his testimony, and he said, you know, he was just a depressed kid. Like, he was just depressed. He didn't have anything to really, any purpose in life. And his life just wasn't going well. He just, he was missing something. And he said he was sitting in a coffee shop, and he heard a still small voice. He didn't know what the still small voice was, but he heard a voice say to go to church. Go to church. And so he found the church that was closest to him, and he showed up late. He didn't know how it worked. He just found the church and showed up late. He had tried so many other things. He's like, well, might as well do what this voice is telling me to do. Mm. So he walks in, and this is going to get back to the point of what Brother Ron said about fasting. So he walks in, he opens the doors to the sanctuary, and he said that he felt heavy weights fall off of him as soon as he opened the door. Mm. And he didn't know what was happening. All he knew was he was weighed down by so many things when he was out in that parking lot. And when he walked in those doors, he felt the presence of God. He didn't know it was the presence of God, really. But he just knew things were falling off. Like, yeah. he felt lighter. And so he just kept walking. And what they were having a worship night is what it was. It wasn't a typical church service. It was a Wednesday night, and he just walked up to the altar, and he just fell to his knees and cried out to God. And however he knew how to, he cried out to God, and he was saved that night.
Wow.
And what he found out later was that worship night was birthed from a corporate 3-day fast that the Lord had laid on that church's heart to do together, a 3-day fast. And then it ended up turning into a worship night. And then that worship night turned into another worship night. And they had like some back after back worship nights. But the whole point of that is, like, if they just didn't feel like fasting that time, then that person's life might not have been changed. Same. In that moment. Like, it's whatever God's laying on your heart, it's not just about you. Even though the beautiful thing about it is it's bigger than just you. Mm. It's for others, but it's also helping you. Because even though their obedience led to someone's salvation, it was still edifying their spirit. It was still helping their relationship with the Lord, too, when we're obedient. But it's just awesome that, you know, he didn't even know what fasting was. But once he found out, he's like, wow, like, I didn't even know that. But, you know, they had been obedient, and they had been preparing for this. And then I walk in and just do what the voice told me to do and find a church, and it just so happens to be that one. And so I really like that story, and it kind of goes back to what Brother Ron was saying. Like, it's okay to tell the Lord, like, you don't like something and be honest with him, because it's a relationship. But going ahead and doing it anyway and denying ourselves can lead to somebody's breakthrough, can lead to somebody's salvation. And I just really liked that story.
I was thinking about some fasting stories when you was talking about that. I ain't gonna say no names, but I remember back in the day, they were on this 40-day fast. This is years and years ago. Back when I was a teenager, I was your all's age, and these older men were telling me their stories. They're on this fast, and he said, I got desperate. I said, well, what'd you do? He said, I took a bologna sandwich and I grinded it up in the blender to try to liquefy it.
Oh, my God.
I said, did you drink it?
I don't know if that's legal in fasting.
I guess they said if you could drink it, and he drank it. And I said, how bad was it? He said, this is awful. He said, I'll never do that again.
Yeah. I tell the Lord that I don't like green food. I don't think he listens.
But look, you never know. You eating that green food could lead to somebody else's breakthrough. Because there's more people that have food aversions than we realize.
And then
if I had green food, it's got to be my breakthrough.
Exactly. And it's going to lead to other people.
Well, there was another, like I said, another story I heard. They said they were supposed to be on a 21-day fast, okay? And they were doing it together. and I guess they broke it at 17. They were so hungry, and they said they went to White Castle's. I was like, that's horrible.
Probably not a good place to go after a 17-day
fast with no food. And they went to White Castle's. He said it was like God saying, you should have went to 21 days because he said it was awful.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when the Lord gives clear instruction, we'd listen, because I know, you know, someone who it was their first time not too long ago, the first time really fasting. And the Lord had told them to eat, like it was time to break the fast. And they didn't listen. So this was actually opposite. Like, they were actually supposed to break it, and they kept going because I guess they thought more needed to be done or they needed to be more spiritual. I don't know what their reasoning was, but they kept going. And they said that they were sicker than a dog. Like, they thought, God's going to reward me for, you know, going the extra mile or whatever. But when God says to stop or when he says to start, just listen, because that person that they said they were, you know, really sick. Yeah. And they knew at that point that it was the Lord telling them to break it. So
I heard Hannah is going to fast during the cruise this year.
That would be if the Lord tells me to.
I know a lady who went. She did a 40-day fast, but 3 days without food or water. I was like, How do you do that?
The scripture I would be reading, I would print out and have with me, is that one about the Lord, everything you sacrifice, it will be restored in this time and the time to come. Because all I would see is dollar signs going down the drain.
No. See, here's where I'm at, though. Like, I do think the Lord wants you to enjoy life. And I know that there is times, like you are talking about, that, like, you're going to have to do stuff that you may want to do, don't want to do, and you have to do stuff you don't really want to do, and like, it's give or take, absolutely. But I also don't think that, I think some people make their miserables the mark of their spirituality.
Yeah.
I don't think that's biblical either, because he rebuked the Pharisees for that.
That's why I liked that story of that other person, that like, the Lord was actually telling them to end it, because he loves them. He loves that person, and he knew that that person was stepping out on faith even to do the fast, because really their health situation is a little bit different. Yeah. When it comes to that. And so the Lord wants us to be healthy. Like, he doesn't want us to be miserable or put, well, okay, sometimes our flesh does feel miserable when we're fasting, let's just be honest. Sometimes there's no way to escape that feeling, and it's okay because we're obeying and sacrificing. But anyways, I like that story because the Lord, he knows best.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want us pushing ourselves to a point he's not even telling us to push ourselves.
I would say if you're going on a fast that long and you go, don't eat White Castles. Go, you got to eat like mashed potatoes or Jell-O or something.
Let me just help some people here. If you're really thinking about a long-term fast, I really do recommend you to read Jensen Franklin's book on fasting before you do it. I think it's one of the best ones I've read. I think he does a pretty good job with the theology of fasting, but I also think he does a tremendous job with the practicality of it.
Yeah.
And if you're going on a long fast, then you need to prepare for that long fast. Mm-hmm. You don't just wake up tomorrow and think, I'm just starting a 21-day fast or a 40-day fast. Like, you actually have to prepare your body to go into it, and then you got to take your body out of it. And he does a fantastic job talking about that. And I think it's a really good book. You can find it on fasting.
Does he have a book on Boaz?
Oh my goodness.
We can't do that on national public radio. So,
just kidding.
He did it on TV.
Yeah. We'll let Franklin do that. I'll do something else.
If you mention Jensen Franklin, you got to ask that question, even though we're not going to talk about it.
This is my broadcast, the host, not his.
Aaron says, I don't want to deal with the backlash.
All right.
Just kidding.
Hey,
I still love Jensen Franklin, though.
All right. Well, we got our guest coming in here in a few minutes. Miss Olivia and Miss C is coming in.
And maybe their other co-host on their podcast, Miss.
Okay.
Why is my mind going blank right now? I don't know. Oh, my gosh. Cassidy. Sorry.
I'm not sure I've ever met Miss Cassidy or not.
Yeah. Well, she had recently had a baby, so that was why she wasn't able to be with us the last time. But this is actually an event that's going on they're going to be talking about, so at Rough River.
And let me just say this, too. Yesterday, we had a tremendous interview with Representative Nancy Tate. Really enjoyed that interview. We talked about a lot of great things. We just have internet issues literally not just like whole neighborhood wise here yesterday. So I don't know if it's up yet or not.
No,
I know you said you was having some issues. We had
the only one I did get to get the sermon up on the app. So if anybody wants to go to the app to listen to Sunday's sermon, you can. But it stopped working immediately after I posted that.
Yeah. So. But it was a very good interview with Miss Nancy. And towards the end there, we did get to discuss, because I've had so many people mention this and talk to me about it, and I got to talk to her, the baby that was found deceased in the house.
Oh, wow.
We discussed this because the issue is the law that enables those babies to go home in those moments. And if that's something they're looking into as a state. And
I didn't hear that part.
It is from the Family First law that President Trump passed into that I still think is a very good law. In overall, but it has caused some few discussions. But I love what she said about, like, you know, we're not going to, it's like I say with spiritual gifts, you can't go off one mountain off to the other. Like, you have to get on the path, and you need those guardrails up. And she said, I don't want to over exaggerate and say we got to go far right this way because now we went this way. And she said that, and I agreed with her, but that is a concern of them too. And I think it's worth the listen to if you want to go listen to what she said for the last 10 minutes. She's always so good with her. She answers questions like that with much grace and poise. And I asked her, and it was a hard question to answer, but it was really good. About the last 8 minutes of the interview was that question, discussing that situation and what the state's thinking on that. And it was really good, and just overall very good conversation with her about some other things in the state too. We discussed some of the issues that people's asked about with the pornography age verification process that's going to happen in the state of Kentucky that got passed, and she went into a little more detail on that. So
that's awesome.
It was a really good conversation. You know, it's not in the sense of like endorsing them, but you know, Senator Meredith and Representative Miss Nancy Tate, they both just do a phenomenal job every interview we have with them. I feel like I learn and grow so much every time I talk to either one of those.
You know what I love about them doing that, the age verification? Now they're saying that these sites are pulling out completely because they don't want to deal with it. I'm like, hey, man.
Well, I mean, there's going to be – it's not just – you know, there's like regular websites you go to that – are you over 18?
Yeah.
I push a button, yes.
Yeah.
That's not going to be this. There's actually going to be, I think you have to submit a picture of your license or something like that. And is that what it is?
Yeah.
That's the rumor I've heard.
You have to put your driver's number and everything. Like, yeah. It's going to know everything about you. So there's no, like.
Which will probably.
Cause even deter even men who have a license to be questionable about doing it.
Yeah, because we remember the Ashley Madison thing that happened. And so that's going to. I think it will. I mean, she was very informative on this. So I just want to encourage you when that does get up, and you know, it's out of our control with the internet issue, but it was a very good.
That's a huge victory.
Yeah.
Huge.
I mean, like I said, these companies are pulling out. I'm like, yes. This is a good thing. They don't want to mess with it. So they're not even going, it's not even going to be accessible. And because they said a lot of these companies are saying we're not even going to mess with these states that are doing this.
And so
there's other states too on this now.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And then of course Louisiana they become the first state that is required to display the Ten Commandments in the schools. It's a requirement now, and they just got that passed in Louisiana.
Wow.
And so there's a lot of states making a lot of ground. Yeah. And really
prayers being answered.
You know, you know, there's it does help of the amount of conservative judges and stuff that's been implemented and put in, and especially in the Supreme Court, there's a lot of cases being heard now. But you know, there's some cases that's going to the Supreme Court that's unanimous, like, you know, 8-0, like stuff we didn't think would go 8-0 is going 8-0. Mm-hmm. Even with a couple of very extreme liberal judges, they're still having to rule in favor of the law because they just it's being watched more now of not making law. And and even the 2015 ruling, they're asking to come back.
Yeah.
Like Aberforth, they're saying, bring it back, please. Like somebody bring this up. Let's get this back in here. And for those who don't know what that was, that's the one that made same-sex marriage legal. And they made law at that point. You can't make law. The Supreme Court doesn't make law. They only confirm that the law is in a contingent upon or an agreement with the Constitution. And literally there's Supreme Court justice or two that's mentioned several times. Like, if somebody can get this back before us, we can probably do something about this and change the – not that they're not promising. They just said they want to look at it again and look at the super precedents that was set.
Yep.
And so it's there's a lot stirring right now that we're not seeing. I mean, that we're seeing, but we can't just negate. Like, we can't – there is great victories happening. So
don't you think, though, even as liberals as people are, they're starting to see what lawlessness does to a nation or even a – place, and they know they have to rule from the rule of law because that's just what they've been taught. I mean, that's why they're a judge. Even in their liberal ideology, they're starting to say, hey, wait a second. You know, our country's, we're going to lose our country if we don't put and implement laws that need to be there and to interpret it the way it should be.
Well, this is what's happening. I think judges are being held accountable for making law.
Yes.
They were never. They don't have that. That's got to be the executive branch. Yeah. They've got to make the law.
Yeah.
And the judicial branch is in charge of enforcing that law.
Yeah.
They were making and enforcing. Yeah. That's not how the branch of accountability was set up in the United States of America. So I think a lot of that stuff back is under. And then of course Roe versus Wade was a huge win. And I know there's been a lot of fights and there's been a lot of, you know, still disappointments and some elections and stuff like that. But I think it was setting a course, and so I just see great victory, and I think our House and Congress really did make some great strides even this session. And so, again, I don't say all that just to be redundant. I think I would encourage you to go back and listen to yesterday's interview if you haven't, because there's a lot of good things brought up like that. And then just look around at the nation and see exactly what's going on. There's a lot of really good laws being made right now.
Yeah.
And now – again, you can never legislate morality in the sense of just because we make good laws doesn't make good people.
That's true.
What good laws does is it enables freedom and it enables good things to happen, but making good laws is never the substitute of good gospel and sharing the word. And so we have to be careful not to let the government do what the church is called to do.
Mm-hmm.
But we also don't want the government making laws that's contradicting and evilness. So it's like that balance there.
I think the church, a lot of times when we see the government go in the right direction, we start to back up.
Yeah.
We start to let up instead of press in. That's the time to press in even further because when there's victories happening and laws being passed that is would be the Lord's will, like that's the time to keep going, keep pressing in. But for some reason, and I think that's just a principle of our flesh of like if somebody else is doing it, then we'll kind of back up until the last second. But I think being more proactive instead of reactive is, we've talked about that and prayed about that. And
but a lot of great victories happening. So we celebrate that and we praise the Lord for that. And of course we can, I will say this, I think even for a presidential election year so far, it's been relatively quiet. I know there's been a lot of things in judicial branches happen and some court cases that have been definitely interesting to say the least. But overall it's been fairly quiet.
It has.
I mean, I guess anything's quiet compared to 2020 at this point. But I do think we should continue to pray for our nation going into this election. And that we would make good, godly decisions with our voting, how important it is. But it's not just the presidential election that's important. It's our city councils, and it's our board educations, and it's all those. It's a whole picture.
I have noticed there's been a lot more people running for school board. I was like, wow, I've never seen this many people running for school board in Grayson County before. So
Well, I think, there's some – I think it's good.
Yeah.
I think it's good, and I think people's getting involved. And, I'm not a guy who's against term limits in anything.
Yeah.
I'm not. If you ask me my honest opinion, I would say there should be term limits in almost any part of government.
Yeah, instead of somebody staying in there. Yeah.
I mean, that's just my opinion. But I'm also, I'm probably a lot smaller government than most people would want to be.
Mm-hmm.
I favor a libertarian ideology in some areas, but definitely oppose it in some other areas. So I don't think I have a perfect representation of what I believe, because at the end of the day, I don't I just want to believe the Bible. And I'm trying to let the Bible formulate. And so, I mean, I have opinions on foreign affairs, and I can talk politics with anybody if you want to, but I'd much rather talk the Bible and stuff like that. So, but I do think I'll stop babbling. I do think our session this year in the state of Kentucky was a pretty good one. And I think there was a lot of good come out. There was some disappointment, but I think there was still a lot of good. And so I think it's room for celebration. And I do appreciate Miss Nancy's awesome response on some things yesterday. That was a hard question. So, all right, well, I'll get out of the way. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to get these, called. But
called, not canceled.
Canceled. That's it. I just wanted to make sure I get that right. Called, not canceled. Amen. All right. Well, we will be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.
All right. We are back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio, and we have in the studio with us the full Called, Not Canceled crew. Last time we had 2/3, but we have why don't you guys introduce yourselves? You've met Sia and Olivia, but just go ahead.
All right, Cassidy,
you can go ahead. Okay, so my name is Cassidy Mohan. I was not here last time, but I'm here today. Praise God. So I am from Breckenridge County. I have a hair salon that I own. It's called Hair Loft Holler. And I don't know. I just pray to have a good group of Christian friends, and the Lord led me to Olivia and Sia. So that's how I'm here.
Awesome.
Yeah. I'm Olivia Corns. I'm originally from Breckenridge County, but I live in Meade County right now. I'm a realtor. I have 4 little kids. And the Lord called me about 3 years ago, actually like 2.5. I don't know. Time is a whole different thing now.
What is time?
What is time? Like, yes, exactly. And I'm just so glad to be here and be in the hands and the feet of Jesus and saying yes and walking it out with my friends, sisters
Amen.
In Christ.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm Sia, I think. I've been on here a couple times. So
most regular listeners probably know you. Yeah, they probably know. We might have some new ones tuning in this morning.
I got 2 little girls and a husband, and then I do the Arise ministry here at Bethel, and Called Not Canceled, our Daughters of Christ page on Facebook. You know, Lord keeps me busy.
Amen. So today, you know, listeners, you've learned about Called Not Canceled, and if any of you have Facebook, which most of you do have Facebook because a lot of you message right. our Facebook page, so you need to get on their Facebook page, Called Not Canceled, and listen to their episodes that they already have out. The testimonies you all have been amazing. I mean, awesome. And I try to share anytime that I can on Facebook, but you all, listeners, you need to get on Facebook and listen. And share, and it's just awesome what the Lord has done in y'all's lives, and just y'all's obedience, your faith to step out and do something that I know you were all pretty uncomfortable with. Maybe not Sia, but I feel like Sia was probably the one that was like, let's do this, but probably once she got into it, she was like, oh, this is real now. So
that's kind of what happens. Absolutely. Like, he'll lay something on one of our hearts, but he does all of us at the same time.
He
knows that we need each other to walk this thing out.
Mm-hmm. And I know, I think even in one of your old episodes, I don't know if it was Sia or Cassidy. I don't know. No, it wasn't Cassidy because she wasn't hearing the radio, but it might have been one of you two that said, you know, I've shared my testimony on the radio before, but I think it was you, Sia.
Yeah.
But you were like, this just feels different. It's a little more nerve wracking. So, and I do think that, you know, having the camera adds that, like, you know, people are seeing you vulnerable. You know, it's a little bit more vulnerable, but I would highly, highly recommend y'all to listen to their testimonies. You can find them on YouTube. But today we're talking about something that the Lord has put on your all's hearts for an event.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Kind of talk about that. So, Revival on Ruff. Mm. We didn't announce, I will add this to our page, but I kind of wanted to save it for a surprise since we were talking about it on the guest portion. But listeners, Revival on Ruff this Saturday, starting at
3:00 is when we're going to start doing like the baptisms, and we got some preaching going on. We're gonna have prayer, of course, worship. We even got a little girl coming out to get her little guitar out there and sing us some worship.
It's just like, awesome. It's a perfect example how if God gives you the vision, he's going to give you the provision. Mm-hmm. And it's not, it was not this thought out, planned out thing. Like, no, literally, I mean, like,
we're still figuring out.
We finally said yes. When he gave us the date, we finally said yes to doing it. But that was only like a month ago. Mm-hmm. And we've just kind of been like, not really, we're just letting him bring all the resources and the people and praying.
We're really like, God, we know that, you know, you're going to show up and show out like at the last hour.
Right.
So talk about the vision first.
Oh,
yeah. Behind it.
And then literal vision.
And then we'll talk awesome. And then we'll talk about the pro vision. So talk about the vision of how this came about.
Back in March, I started leading a life group. So it's like small groups at the church because I go to Radiant Church in Brandenburg. It's a very large church. So our pastors really push to have like small groups. And that it is so beneficial. It plugs you in. So the Lord called me to lead a life group called Praying Wife, yeah. And Cassidy led it with me. And just after the second session, I just heard him say, like, don't just read about it. Don't just talk about it. Let's be about it. Activate the faith. Like, and it started to be activated in the group. So then I was driving down the road going to Owensboro one day, and I had a vision of baptizing people, okay, in Rough River Lake. And I was like, oh, like, that wasn't my own thought, but that seemed really big. And we know the Lord can give us vision of things to come, but sometimes we try to get ahead of the Lord. So I wasn't trying to do that, right? Mm-hmm. So I actually joined a class, the core group with Jenny Weaver, and that is right before Easter. So she actually was talking about how people needed to get out in their local lakes and rivers and start baptizing people in the name of Jesus. And that was the first big confirmation. And it broke out where she was doing the Easter baptisms down there in Florida. And it just, I mean, that was like a nationwide thing. And I was like, wow, that's one big confirmation. So ever since then, there's been confirmations. And talk to Sia and Cassidy about it. They've had confirmations because the Lord deals with us at the same time about things. It's really cool. What'd he call us yesterday? The trio or something. Yeah. So that's really just where it started. And we didn't know the time. Then I was like, Lord, you know, give us a date. And he did. And that's where it kind of started. And we're just walking by faith, not by sight. So
it's crazy how all of this came about. So last year we had planned to do like a Sailing with Jesus event. And it just didn't work out. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just, it's really funny how it works out. And we had a different date planned for next month. And then we just thought it was just going to be a couple girls from our page on Facebook just getting together, having a Bible study. And now it's turned into this big vision of baptizing all these people.
Wow. So yeah, I wasn't even thinking about that. So you all have, do you know about how many people you have on your Daughters of Christ page?
It's close to 300.
I'd say it's a couple hundred people.
Something. So, I mean, that's a big group there, you know, that can bring family, friends, and wow. Yeah, I wasn't even thinking about that, about the, you know, the page there.
Right, because now it's not just women. Like, there's men, too, that are, like, reaching out, wanting to come.
And yes, like, it started so cool with the Daughters of Christ, like, right at the beginning of our walk. Like, that's, like, he literally, this, we are not smart enough. Okay, our brains are not good enough to plan
this all out.
Just we could go into detail, but we would be here for 5 hours. Yeah. But I mean, seriously, like we are just not this good.
There was actually a amen. There was a young lady that like God put back into my life recently, and I had to really test the spirit. I was like, God, is this somebody from my past that's going to come in and, you know, like hinder, or is this somebody that like you are seeking? And like, I had a vision of her, like, just a little snapshot, because that's how God deals with me, of her coming up out of the water. And then that same morning is when Olivia called me, and she was like, I think we need to be baptizing people. I was like, well, okay.
Wow.
I hear you, Lord.
But that's the thing. Like, he can give us a vision, and that's what I'm still learning to navigate, is trying not to get ahead of him. Because at some point, we do have to walk out in faith and do the thing, but just waiting on him to really set the path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because absent from him, we can do nothing.
We can do nothing.
He's the vine, you know, and he will go before us. Because Yeah, I love that. I love that. Because when we start to get ahead of him is when we get into error.
Absolutely.
And we don't want that. We don't want to pray amiss. We don't want to get into error, because that's when all kinds of things. That's when, you know, spirit of divination comes in. Yes. That's right. When, you know, false right. things and strange fire. And mm-hmm. I'm thankful that even... It's crazy that you all have not actually been in your walk as long as I feel like you all have been in your walk for a while.
We do too.
But it just, it does, it's, yeah. it shows what walking in the spirit and obedience can do. I really believe that the more you obey these things that the Lord's given to you, the more he can trust you, the farther and the faster he grows
right.
his people.
I think
that's
so
just
too.
What I'm seeing is because, you know, I know that he's given you all things, even from your testimonies. And you know, mm-hmm. you all being on here last time, and just through keeping up with you all, and you've been obedient to those things, and yeah. I definitely know that that has to be a huge reason why he's growing yeah. you all.
He's looking for people to say yes and answer the call. So when someone does answer the call and says yes, okay, like, my daughter, good job, like, you did this, you're obedient, you're seeking me, you're getting my word in prayer. So he takes you to another, gives another vision.
A bigger assignment.
A bigger assignment.
Because he knows he can trust you.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Absolutely.
And being amazing. Content with the small one, the
right.
first one.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, like, yeah. even going back to your old ministry, being content with the Daughters of Christ page, mm-hmm. that was kind of the beginning.
Yeah.
And not expecting anything else.
Right.
Or okay, expecting the Lord to do things, but not... I guess
was
feeling entitled, I guess,
mm-hmm. right
to it, good. And being content, but also looking to the future and saying, "Lord, I know the plans that you have for me are good, and to give me hope right. and to give me a yeah. future." You know, even seeing from that turning into where he's taking you all now, it yeah. shows, it proves that scripture that, you know, when he can trust us with a little, he can trust us with more.
And absolutely. That's like the spirit of like. Doubt and stuff was trying to come against us, or like, mm-hmm. you're not oh, equipped. Yeah, well, that's why we're called, not canceled, okay? Like, he equips the call, just like Cassidy was yeah. saying yesterday. Like, yes, we do. We need wisdom from elders and things, and we're seeking that, you know? That's Bible.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But it does say, like, he kept taking me to the scripture, and it kept popping up everywhere, you know? Matthew 28:19-20, I think. Don't call me on that. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing mm-hmm. them in the name of the Father, the Son, yeah. and the Holy Spirit. So that was a whole confirmation.
That's a commandment right
yeah.
there.
Yeah. yeah.
There's the not commission. You don't have to be ordained.
And that's nope. what I was getting ready to say. Like, I feel like it has came up so much, especially in the last few weeks. Like, what are you guys qualified to do this? Like, mm-hmm. do you all have any, like, certifications to do this? And, like, we're just being led by the Holy Spirit. We're just doing
Amen.
What the Lord told us
Our
to
certification
do.
Is the Holy Ghost.
Exactly.
Like, we definitely couldn't do this on our own. This is not something.
Everything is just, like.
And if we wanted to get biblical here, you know. Let's I know Pastor Aaron could chime in on this, but, you know, we're all called to be evangelists.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what you all are doing. Like, when we get into, you know, church leadership, elders, things right. like that, there's a conversation there.
Yeah.
Right. You know, we want to stay biblical, but right. in the Great Commission, it all we are all called to be evangelists. I mean,
right.
look at the woman at the well. Yes. She was evangelizing.
Right,
exactly.
You know, and just so many throughout Scripture, and that's what you all are doing. You yeah. know, is evangelizing, spreading the gospel, and then making disciples, baptizing. Mm-hmm. You know, it tells us to do that, and yeah. and so I, you're right. It's Scripture. Mm-hmm. So sorry, yeah. Sia. Did
no,
you have something,
you're
Sia?
Good. I don't even know what I was gonna say, but something else comes to mind is we have been seeing so many things, like we talked about Facebook earlier. So many things on Facebook, like. People sharing revivals that have broke out and like baptisms and everything, and everybody's like, oh, I hope it spreads, I hope it spreads.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's nothing.
Nobody everybody's kind of sitting on their hands waiting for somebody to
yes.
do it.
And I think that was a big push for us, is we're yeah. like, if not us, then who? Like,
yeah.
who's gonna do this? And that was a very big, well, I don't even know if it was a push, it was more like a shove.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just fell into it.
The urgency.
Yeah.
Well, that's even like going back to the Asbury revival. I know, mm-hmm. I don't even think I've talked to you about this, Olivia, but I think, Sia, you've talked about how that kind of played a part in Olivia's walk.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us, whenever the Asbury Revival broke out, you know, I did end up going to it, and it was amazing. But I think there was a lot of people who had this, you know, check from the Holy Spirit of like, we don't have to go to another place that's having revival. Revival is living in us. Like, we need to be praying and starting this here. Like, we need to be activated and praying for revival in our own church. And I know that Bethel, you know, that was one thing that, you know, was mentioned to the congregation of, you know, we're going to respect and honor what God's doing there, but we need this here.
Yes.
Right. You know, and I think it's the same thing with even what's going on with Jenny Weaver's ministry, the core group. I mean, it's amazing what God's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it even goes back to, you know, we've had Heather Hodges on talking about her walk with the Lord, and it's amazing what God's done through her as a woman of God, but she'll be the first one to tell you, this is for anybody in the body of Christ.
Right.
If we would, you know, have a revelation of who we are in Christ, walk in it, like you all said, not sit on our hands, get up and start putting our faith to action and being diligent, like you said, in the word and in prayer and in the secret place.
Right.
These things are going to happen. These signs shall follow
those
who go and preach and do these things. So y'all are right on. With this.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm excited, and we have had people be like, well, like, do you have anybody even coming out to be baptized? I mean, yeah, we do.
Listen, we just had already,
but I'm not going there with a number in mind.
Absolutely.
I'm just going there and just, I'm like, the Holy Spirit is going to
lead those,
rain down his glory, and he's just going to, so many lives are going to be transformed that day, even if it's not somebody getting in the water physically. Or, because I mean, we're praying about people being baptized in the Holy Ghost too, not just water baptism, but I'm fully expecting lives to be transformed just by witnessing what's happening to all the people that are driving by on the boats and everything. Mm-hmm. Which we are still looking for a boat if that's where the Lord wants us.
Yeah, so if any of you guys feel like you're called to captain or rent out your boat, my husband's a fantastic bass fisherman. He knows how to drive a boat. Just reach out to us.
He's real sick right now.
Of course.
Like, he'll be healed by Saturday in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
But yeah, so again, we're still working out a lot of kinks and everything, but I'm just so excited, and every day it gets closer. I feel like I get nervous, but then I get an overwhelming sense of, like, confidence.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. So, like, if you know all three of us, I feel like Olivia and Sierra are so, like, yay, excited to do everything, and I'm over here like, oh my gosh, Lord, you're really going to make me do this. But I love that, though, because as it gets closer, I am excited, and I just... It's just
going to
be so cool.
I'm thankful that, you know, what is that saying that, like, faith over fear?
Faith over fear.
And I'm so thankful that, like, the Lord, he sees the fears that are in us. He sees the doubts that we have, but he doesn't count us out. And he sees the faith that he put in us, you know, that seed. And I mean, Cassidy, I'm the same way. I try my best to show and to walk it out as much as I can. But I mean, on the inside, sometimes I'm just scared about things, or I'm like, Lord, how is this going to work? But, you know, I think it's beautiful, even looking at the disciples, at all the different disciples, how some were more, let's do this. I mean, look at Peter, even he was more zealous, but then he actually ended up, you know, messing up. Like, and then there's some that were more skeptical. You know, there's Thomas. He's like, I'm not believing you till you show me the hand. Like, you know, he didn't say it like that, but he was, you know, skeptical, but I don't think that that's always a bad thing either.
Right.
You know, it's just, we're all made different, but I'm thankful that he wants us all, and we're all a puzzle piece to this big picture.
Right.
And it's like, he chose us, you know, he called us and he knew, you know, today we read the scripture, like, while we were yet sinners, while we were still weak, he died for us. So he knew, and I have to remind myself of that. He knows all of my flaws and my doubts and everything. When he called me, he knew that.
Yes.
Right.
So I just have to keep trusting him, even when it's hard, because he's going to, I'm thankful
that
he continues to use us, and he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I just have to remind myself of that. He already knows. He already knows what I'm thinking right now.
Yeah.
What I'm doubting or what I'm afraid of. And I'm not, I don't know if that's, you know, what you meant completely, but for me, a lot of the time it's like, I guess being afraid of what's going to happen or right. not mm-hmm. knowing, not having every step lined out.
Right.
But that's faith.
That's faith.
That yeah. is completely faith.
Yeah. That is faith. Just a short example, like the other day, like we're so awful, y'all. Like, and he loves us so much.
I don't use that.
Well, we're not, yeah. But like, he just loves us so much and he's so merciful. Like, he had laid on our heart. We started a softball team in Hardinsburg and it's not even a church league. And
We're
going to start praying on the field, Olivia. And I'm like, yes, yes, Lord. okay. So it actually just transformed to this thing where there was a meeting at a church for the coaches. I'm like, okay, yeah.
Wow.
All righty then. And I brought it up at the coaches meeting or whatever. And anyways, I'm just gonna make this really quick. We had not our first practice, but the practice that we had after that was almost our whole team. And I just, on the way there, I was like, Lord, I'm just gonna forget. That'll be my excuse. So I'm just being completely transparent because we can all attest to this where we're just
to pray.
Yeah. That's horrible. You know what I'm saying? But like, he said no, and then he gave me a sign. He comforted me. He brought people to a circle around the pitcher's mound, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. we walked it out in obedience. Everybody was super okay with it, and
she was like, "I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to do it.
There's no way I can't. I'm going to grieve the Holy Spirit if I do not do this right now, because mm-hmm. you know." And it turned out to be a great practice. Everybody was in a great mood, and it was different.
When you invite the Holy Spirit in.
And I did, yeah. Fun. You know, I said, leave religion out, like, wow. No denomination. Yeah. We're here for Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow. Like,
amen.
Yeah.
I think that was a big step in your boldness towards this weekend, too.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it's definitely, a lot of people will be like, Olivia's here. And, like, Cassie be like, y'all are so bold. And I'm like, I don't feel like I am, though.
It's so funny, because this week, like, I mean, we were on a different podcast yesterday. We're here today. We have so many bold things going on this week, and I'm just, it is helping me, like, get to Saturday to just prepare me a little bit for Saturday. And every day it's just a little bit more comfortable. So I'm really happy. Praise God that we're doing all this stuff this week, because it's just, it feels good.
And just, like, where you're more laid back, you knew exactly where we were doing this at the whole time.
This whole time, they were like, where are we doing this at? And I was like, it's going to be Laurel Branch. I don't know why they're even talking about it, because I know it's going to be Laurel Branch.
Yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely.
And then what did you, so whenever we were like, okay, Laurel Branch, which honestly is really the only public beach that is going to be open anyways.
Yeah,
pretty much. Sia had, I don't know if it was like a Holy Spirit unction to look up what
that. I was
that,
just like, I'm going to look up and see what Laurel means. And that's a whole biblical thing. It took me down a whole rabbit hole with the Holy Trinity and all, like, healing. Like
resurrection. I think Laurel, like, meant.
Yes.
Now, look this up yourself, but I think it said, like, resurrection of Christ or something.
It was just confirmation at the time. Like, oh, there's a lot more to this than just the fact that it's like a beach that's open,
right? It's deeper than that.
There's a lot more. Like, this whole time he was like, it's gonna be here, guys. It's gonna, and we're like, we need to figure out a place.
Yes. And Olivia's husband Caleb actually took us out on the boat, like, looking for a spot on Rough River, and I was like, it's gonna be at Laurel Branch. I don't know why we're out here. And I kept bringing it up, and they were like, well, I was like, all right.
And that's the thing, Caleb has a bass boat, so it's not exactly fitting for what we need. We want to actually go out on the water and evangelize. We want land and water.
That's the thing, though. It's what we want.
Right. Like, it's about what the Lord.
Might be like, no, you're going to be on land the whole time.
Hey, right. But you said it in the beginning.
That's right.
You know, when he gives the vision, he'll give the provision. If he gives the vision for the water, then he'll provide it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And so we're getting close to being out of time this morning. Thank you all so much for coming in. But go ahead and, with these few minutes left, get the details out there again for the listeners so that they can be in prayer at this time, but also invite people, bring people out.
Yeah.
And also, what is the needs of this day? So, like,
Okay.
Maybe some, like, if believers listening, what could they do if they want to come?
Well, I think the main things are if someone feels led to come out and preach, absolutely. You know, there's room for you. We'll figure it out. We already got a couple of people preaching, but if somebody does feel a call to come out and just share something or whatever the Lord lays on their heart, we'd love that. You know, if anybody wants to come out and sing or just, you know, mm-hmm. whatever, if you want to come out and just lay hands on people and pray and or evangelize, like, absolutely, come on. If you're wanting to come out and help us baptize people, that's okay too.
Yeah. Right. <know? laughs> Right.
We have a couple of guys, because not everybody's comfortable with a woman baptizing them. We got a couple of guys coming out to help us do that. But yeah, and it's going to be good.
I think, so we've got a little girl that's going to bring her guitar out there and sing. We have a speaker. We're looking for kind of a sound setup in a way.
Yeah, too, and it, Cassidy must have just had revelation. She just gave us a look.
And then location, just for anybody who... Most people know Rough River, Laurel Branch.
Laurel Branch and McDaniels.
Yeah, so it's at the end of Laurel Branch Road. Mm-hmm. There's not an actual physical address if you don't know or if your friends don't know exactly where it's at. It's at the very end of Laurel
Liberation
Branch
Church. That's the, if you turn on by Liberation Church and just take that road all the way down, that's where Laurel Branch is. Now, if you want to get there from the water, I don't know what to tell you.
Ask Caleb. You're
going to have to
if they're Caleb familiar Barnes. Being out on the water, they probably know how to how to get there, but awesome. But
3:00, and then whoever wants to come out, we're going to meet here at the sanctuary at 10:00 on Saturday to start praying and stuff, so if you want to come out and just pray with us or go out, you know, even if you can't make it that afternoon, if you want to come out and pray and then go spread the word, you know, post on Facebook, whatever you want to do, but...
Yes, share this on Facebook. There is an event, Revival on Rough, and you can share that. Mm-hmm. And then be in prayer. If you're not able to come, pray for us. Pray for those of us that are dealing with maybe fear or overcoming those things, or mm-hmm. pray for the hearts to be prepared, for the souls to be prepared.
Yes,
if you need tips on how to pray for this, I'd be more than happy to pray with you if you want to call the station. Or if you want any more information on this, you can call the station at 270-257-2689. Well, let's pray out. We have like 30 seconds to a minute, so I want to pray us out. And thank you guys again for coming in. And listeners, we love you. So, Lord, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the morning. We thank you for all three of these ladies that you have awakened, Lord, that you have revived them, and now they want to revive other people, Lord. They want to see other souls coming to life and filled with the Holy Spirit, saved, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. And we just pray that you would lead us and guide us in everything for Saturday, Lord, and prepare the hearts. And we pray that if there's anybody listening right now that feels drawn, Lord, that they would be there in Jesus' name. We love you. We thank you. We give you, dedicate everything to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day, listeners. Thank you, guys.